discussing words and so on. It hadn't been changed much, been changed two or three times, and changed back. And
have you cleared it to anybody?
No, sir.
Well, you better let Bill and Jack go over it before you issue it. It's going to be too late if you don't hurry, though, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
And hadn't you better call Huff and...
Well, we just getting putting the calls in now because we just got a text that everybody agreed on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Let you and Jack get on and listen to this text. Let us listen to it and see what you're going to say.
When I was asked by the committee...
Wait a minute. Wait till they get on.
No, it's go ahead.
Who are you going to give this to, Walter? How are you going to have it?
Well, we're planning. George is going to give it to everybody that wants it, to wires. And,
some old twat house and give it out here?
Well, it hadn't. I don't think so.
George, going to find them out on Pennsylvania Avenue?
He was just going to call them, tell them he had a statement for them and deliver it to them. Is that right, George? You were not going to give it out at the White House? You were not going to give it out at the White House? He said he had planned to just go over there and give it out in the press room, but they've given him a lid and they're all gone, so they'll have to call him.
Well, I wouldn't call him back for it.
Yep.
I never got it on.
That's my feeling. Yeah. And we've still got some more checking to do.
I don't know why they'd give him a lid anyway.
I wouldn't send it out by messenger either. That's all for that.
All right, how do you recommend it then, Bill?
I wouldn't do it till in the morning, Mr. President. I wouldn't handle it in an extraordinary way. I would do it at the briefing at noon. But I wouldn't let Hatcher do it.
George says he's sure to get a couple of questions. One, whether you had knowledge of it. Abe says you also, I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, that gives, you do have knowledge then. So you're not going to answer that question, don't you think so, Bill?
Yes, sir. If you say that, then that just gives the Republicans fuel.
That's right.
You could handle it. You could have a press briefing tomorrow at noon, and then after that, you could give it out as a separate statement after the press briefing. That gives them no chance to ask questions for the afternoon papers.
Well, that was George's second alternative, was just to mimeograph and hand it out and not answer questions on it.
Or you could give it to a couple of papers tonight.
George says you mustn't do that. That you mustn't make it a leak to one or two papers.
Put George on, George, so we can all decide this.
Get on 2385, and maybe just while we're about it, Abe, why don't you step in the other room there and get on 2385?
You know.
Everybody on there?
Yeah, I'm
yes.
Right. Yes. All right, sir.
You ready to hear it?
Yeah.
When I was asked by the committee staff whether I had knowledge of the arrangements for the purchase of advertising, I took the question at face value. Since I had no knowledge of those arrangements, I replied no. I was not asked whether I had communicated to Mr. Reynolds that an offer had been received from a Texas insurance agent which was more attractive because of his advertising on the station. Had I been asked that question, I would have replied differently. Since my statements have been misconstrued, I shall try to clarify all I remember of the details. One, the OVJ company was seeking insurance on Mr. Johnson's life. Two, Mr. Robert Baker sent Mr. Don Reynolds to me as a person who might provide it. Three, Mr. Reynolds submitted an offer. Four, a Texas agent who was a regular advertiser on the station had submitted an offer which was more attractive to the company because of the advertising purchases. Five, I think I communicated this information.
Because of the advertising purchases.
Because
now, wait a minute. Don't both of you talk at once. Now. Back it up.
Because of the advertising purchases.
That's
strike,
not right.
Strike the word the.
Because of advertising purchases. Five, I think I communicated
well,
this.
Why don't you say because of his regular advertising purchases?
Well, Mr. President, there we, I think we just geared down too much there. Point is that he was offering something additional. But we've got it fuzzed
point
up there.
What he's making is that the regular advertising purchases might not make it more attractive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why it doesn't. It's much more attractive to me to do with the business with a guy that's spending full $5,000 a year, wouldn't it, than a guy that's not spending anything.
Or maybe we ought to say because of because of his advertising program.
Yeah, that's all right. I think that's a good way to do it.
Sure. Implies it's regular.
Go ahead.
5, I think I communicated this information to Reynolds, and he expressed a desire to increase the attractiveness of his proposal by purchasing advertising time. 6, the arrangements for the purchase of that time were made with station personnel. 7, I do not know Mr. Young and have no memory of talking with him or receiving any correspondence from him. If, as I understand he has said, I talked with him by telephone or otherwise, I can only say that I have no recollection of it.
Although station personnel have informed me they did talk to him. If that's true, do you let her show that they talked to him?
Yes, sir.
Well, station personnel
went down there and
informed me that they had extensive discussions with him.
That's right. But what I think happened is I think that Bobby talked to him here and talked to him about Walter having told him to talk to him. And I think that he's got Walter mixed up. And I think the station personnel did talk to him. They had a right to talk to him.
They did extensive negotiations with him.
I wonder if you call attention to it, you don't increase the possibility that somebody might not bring them in and see what they've got to say.
Yeah.
Well, I think any statement's going to do that. Ted Sorensen said we're the biggest damn fools he's ever dealt with. First to make the first statement, and then second to make the next one. But I guess we've got to do it. Talked to him a long time about it tonight and said that everybody that's experiencing this thing thinks we're blowing it up ourselves. O'Donnell, O'Brien, Sorensen, and all of them agree that we're building a case against ourselves. Now, I don't know, I just put that in for what it's worth. He thinks that, that we just made a terrible mistake coming out the other day in my saying it. And gave him a chance to say that we ran out on the questioning. He said that's the memory the people have, that the president ran. That didn't happen at all, but it doesn't need to happen. They say it, and that's all. You got these people in the Washington Post, Newsweek. That little fellow Friendly over there is really playing this thing keeps.
Why does Walter have to make a statement, Mr. President?
Well, y'all answer that.
Well, I think you ought to make a statement because you've got a great big hole here and it's going to be very difficult to live with it between now and the election. You've got a story to tell, and I think you can fill the hole with that story, and then Walter can live with it.
Abe, I wish you'd talk to Sorensen about this before we do it.
Sure.
Well, just every political advisor we've got that's been winning campaigns is against these things. They think if we just came out and reopened it up and built it up and got all the congressmen and senators all slushing away just because we met over at lunch the other day and decided we had to have a statement.
Well, Humphrey and Mansfield.
Humphrey told me the opposite. Mansfield is not astute anyway. Carl Albert told me not to do it. Lou Dexler told me not to do it. Everybody whose judgment I really respect, and I knew it. I just knew it was bad. I just knew it instinctively, and I think it's built it up now to where I think we're building up again. I just don't like to go against your judgment because you've got to defend me. And if I don't follow your advice,
well,
I'm going to be in a hell of a shape. But if I do follow it, I'm going to jail. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
My instinct just tells me that we're just begging for trouble. Just out there opening my arms by issuing these damn statements. I thought the one the other day, I just started to turn around when I started to walk out of there. And then I just couldn't do it because you and Clark Pifford had thought it ought to be done. But I just sure think it's a terrible mistake in retrospect.
I just called a personal friend of mine whose judgment I have confidence as a friend and asked him what he thought. And he said, I don't think anybody really cares. Everybody's read the paper and they don't think it amounts to a whole lot. Whether the details of
seems to me if you put it out tomorrow, you're going to give Gross and these Republicans a chance to say, well, Mr. Jenkins can't remember, can he? And every time a new piece of information comes out, he remembers a little bit more. Maybe we ought to call him up here and ask him. Set it straight once and for all.
This seems to me, Abe, but I don't know anything about it. I'm just going on.
I haven't talked to either one of these boys about any of it.
I'm just going on instinct, too, and I know nothing about the facts. But here's another front page story. Now, somebody's going to come back. See, it's when they smell blood, they're not going to stop for this thing. Just like the president thought. He finished it off the other day, but he hasn't. He just added fuel to the fire. I think every time you issue a statement on it, it just adds it, and the jackals begin to want more blood. And I think this is a statement Walter can make at any time. If he can make it now, he can make it later on. I mean, hell, there's a hole, you say there's a hole, but the hole's been there. And if you want, and I think the less you say about this thing, the people in the country really aren't as exercised about this as the people in Washington are.
Well,
where you have it.
That's true, that part of it.
If I were on the other side, I'd pick up number five, that statement number five, which starts out saying, every other statement is a declarative sentence, but number five comes and says, I think. And I just, you know, I just press Walter against the wall, keep hammering at him, saying, now,
Well, he wanted me to say, to leave out the I think, but I'd be making a declarative statement that I don't know to be true. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to say I communicated this information to Reynolds, but I don't honestly know that I did.
I've said all right, that I think it's just my feeling on the thing. I just think the more you say, the more blood is spilled and the more the animals want to crowd around him for the kill.
I think at this point that this is moot. I certainly can't advise the two principal people who are going to be affected to put out a statement that they don't have confidence in.
I'll tell you what I think. I was in Oklahoma with the Press Association, 300 of them, and I spent 4 hours in private session with them in the hotel suite, and this didn't come up once. But they sure did bring up Panama and recognition of Red China and all of this, and I just think that we're going to put it in the nation's top 10 stories when it doesn't
happen. I agree. People aren't really interested in this thing right now unless we make them.
Well, boys, you're buffeting it pretty hard.
I don't know. Maybe you can't advise people to put out a statement they don't have any confidence in.
Well,
when the principals don't, because they're the people who got their neck out.
Mr. President, I trust your instinct. Your instincts have been good all your life.
Frankly, you've also reached a point in the evening where by the time we finish doing the checking, it's going to be virtually impossible to put it out without giving an impression of skulking furtiveness.
I think that's right. And my judgment is that whatever hole is left ought to be given to McClendon when McClendon interviews you. And let McClendon clear up any hole.
You mean McClendon ought to have another interview with Walter?
Well, yeah.
That's another way of doing it. But that's equivalent to a statement, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, but I think it's much better than you calling up people at 9 o'clock at night and giving them out something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you worked it out that way and McClendon said, now they've raised this question, I want to ask you some other questions, let him ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Let Walter answer them.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even do that, would you, unless they want to?
No, I wouldn't. I think the best thing, I've tried these sons of bitches, and I don't think that Kay Graham and Alfred Friendly changed his name 3 or 4 times. I just don't believe those people are our friends. I saw them over at that luncheon today, and to me, they're wicked people. They're mean, vicious. They're trying to destroy us. I don't know why, but I think they think that Bobby got to fail this girl. I think anything we say is going to be misinterpreted, misconstrued, and the least we say, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'd just give anything in the world if I could retract my statement the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the right statement. I thought I got by with it fine. I walked in the room and stood there and talked to Helen Thomas. She said, are you going out to Liz Carpenter's party? And I said, yes. She said, are you going to see Queen Frederica and so-and-so? And we talked about that. Then the sons of bitches had me running out of the room. I was loping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just, people like that you can't deal with. And I think you just almost got to be as mean with them as Truman was. You just Tom Wicker of the New York Times, who's a reputable, honest, presumably gentleman. Yesterday he asked Howard Smith, "Is a Southerner here on civil rights? Johnson's a Southerner." Well, that son of a bitch is from North Carolina himself.
Yeah.
But they're just wicked men. And I just think anything you give them is trouble. Now, the main thing you got to do is use your power on them and hope you got the votes. I wish you and Clark Clifford spend your time on these six senators instead of on statements.
Mm-hmm.
You get those six statements, tell the Republicans to go straight to hell. Maybe write some statements to answer them on the House floor and Senate floor, but I'd never be answering them out of the White House, because God, that blows it up, and that makes it, I think, the most tragic mistake we've made since we've been in the White House is walking out here the other day and making that. We want to be frank, we want to be candid, we want to be open. We answered them all, and then what'd they do?
Mm-hmm.
They said we ran.
Yeah.
So we were just children. We're just getting burnt with this press corps over here.
What would you think, because a fellow offered to do it last night, of having a columnist like Bill White say that after all, it doesn't have anything to do with the government one way or the other, and it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but no one has really looked at the testimony and seen that there isn't any necessary
I think it would be very good if you get Drew Pearson and Bill White to do it. Just say it's Republicans had canned speeches, and shame on you.
I think I can get, I may be able to get Drew to do it.
I think he'd do nearly anything for us if he's sure we weren't for sending aid to the Catholics. And we weren't, and we didn't, and we never heard of it, and we can't find the son of a bitch that did it. But Walker Stone ran it. But I think you could get Bill White tonight to do it, and I think you'd get Drew Pearson to do it, and I think you sit on your ass with a statement. Yeah, I just tell you, the smartest man I've met in this White House is Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
He told me tonight he just thought I was a big, fat, cigar-puffing, pot-bellied numbskull by following advice to get out here in front of the press. That's all they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I told you that the other day, and I won't tell you that again."
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we've got a hole. Maybe we need to fill that hole. But I think we ought to fill it with those six votes up there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sit down with McClendon and work out the statement and work it out carefully. But I sure don't think tonight's any night to put it out. I honestly don't.
Right. And, I would raise a question, Mr. President, about using Bill White for this particular message. I think that...
Well, who in the hell are you going to use?
Well, Pearson is by far the best choice on this. But White is beginning to be thought of as that private channel.
And well, he's always been thought of, and that's all right.
Well, I would hope that on this particular...
I think it almost gives it more validity, Bill.
It can't do any harm. It isn't good.
I tell you, it reaches a lot of people and reaches the conservative group you want to reach. Who do you suggest, Bill?
Well, this,
Who do you know that write a column like you wanted written, period?
Well,
Don't be negative, just be affirmative. You knock one off, it'll get you a woman to sleep with yourself.
I think you can get, you won't believe it, but I think you could get Roland Evans to do a story like this.
Hell.
After what you did to him Saturday night.
Oh, you can,
I pray those people have to have the hooker at the end of it.
Yes. I think Bill White's respected in the United States. I think it really is about as respected a columnist you got. I don't think here in Washington when you're liberals and you're radicals and you're whodunits and whatnot. But I think over the country he is. Okay, now
I think you could end up by saying, and even if you assumed that Jenkins was entirely wrong and the other fellow was entirely right. Well,
so what?
So what?
That's exactly right. I just keep it out of the papers. It's a
just stirs it up, Walter, and just makes it more, and people read about it, and this is a basic principle of public relations, or whatever you want to call it, is just keep your name out of the paper. People have short memories. They're going to remember the tax bill and the civil rights bill, and when these colored people go to vote, they're not going to worry about the stereo set, they're going to worry about whether or not that civil rights bill is passed. And the businessman's going to think about his profits. And why stir this up? As I say, though, you men are far wiser than me. I'm just giving
you. Abe, you answer that one.
Well, I don't know.
Abe, why don't you call?
Why don't you call?
Clowns or somebody that are real close to you and ask them why they think Walter ought to answer this. Get away.
It's a little difficult, you know, to convey background on this thing.
Well, I mean, talk to Thurman Arnold. You talked to him the other day.
Yeah.
And I'd give him $1 million if I'd taken his advice, because that's just what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But let's just talk to two or three from what they see.
Right. All right.
And I'd say nothing tonight. I'd just put a lid on it. I think it's bad taste to call it this time of night, because I think we've been here all day long. We can't produce anything.
Well, if we're not going to, we ought to do this checking.
I check with Huff Baines, and
I don't mind checking with him. But
let's leave McClendon.
I think if we check with McClendon on the validity of the statement, then it's going to get out that we're thinking about making one.
No, I think I talked to Whitley about the desirability of it.
Right.
And I think some of Jordan's things not helping us about Tenware. I'd write it. I would till tomorrow, and let's meet on in the morning.
Okay, sir.
After I get through with Bobby Kennedy, that's going to be a pleasant assignment.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, sir.